Hello and welcome to In The Game, Qatar's first sports podcast. And today is very, very special. As you can see, we're in Quest Esports and we are going to be talking all about the phenomenon of esports on a global basis, but especially in Qatar and the region. So today, let me introduce you. We've got Ellie. Ellie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Please give us a quick introduction of yourself and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Ellie Jmayel. I'm the CEO at Quest Esports. We've been operating in Qatar and the Middle East for the past 8 years. Qatar specifically in the last four. We manage the PSG Quest Dota 2 team in partnership with the Qatar Esports Federation and some local partners. We also run the Ooredoo Nation League. We've been running that for the past 3 years. It's a league, it's a local league for gamers. And we're operational in Dubai and Saudi as well.
How are you keeping up?
It becomes easy when you find the right people to support you. It's when you love what you're doing, it doesn't matter what time you're doing it. It makes it easier to work at night, to kind of be there all the time.
Incredible place you've got here. Thank you so much for hosting us today.
Happy to have you.
Saeed, I've known you for, you've been on our podcast already.
Correct.
I love what you do, but please introduce yourself to everybody.
So you've mentioned my name already. My name is Saeed. I was born and brought up here. And the reason I'm here today is I was the former president of the Qatar University Esports Club. Starting up that club from pretty much scratch and then building that community around that are people really, really passionate about what they're doing, doing events, activations, partnering before with Quest. We were there at Ooredoo Champions Nations, Ooredoo Nations Cup, and keeping up with everything esports, trying to make sure there's as much as possible activation.
I love what you do and your determination and your how you've put all this together with us has been incredible, and you really have done an excellent job here today, so congratulations. Khalifa, there's no introduction for you that's needed, but please, just in case somebody in Qatar doesn't know who you are, okay, Please introduce yourself.
Do you want the tagline introduction or you want the normal introduction?
You do whatever you're comfortable with, okay, but
so,
you are the,
so
the
man. I'm Khalif Al Harun. I wear actually a lot of different hats, figuratively and literally, and I'm known for the ILQ Media Network. However, when it comes to the esports and gaming side, I was first known for setting up Store 974, which is now, you know, has the largest largest retail store in the Middle East. And I'm also one of the board members and the chairman for the Qatar eFootball national team. And recently as well, I've been appointed as a CEO of the Qatar Esports Federation.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How did esports, and I start with you, how did esports make a mark in your life?
First of all, gaming has always been very close to my heart because of my mother, God rest her soul. And so back in the days, you know, of Nintendo and the Famicom, you know, my mother would always want to sit next to me while I was playing a game. And she would always tell me, you know, she would sit next to me because she enjoyed the story. And it was only after, you know, she passed away that I started to think about it a little bit longer. And it was actually, it wasn't just she liked the story, she wanted to spend time with her kid. And so I was very, I really got into gaming. Then I later on got into PC gaming. It just was really interesting, you know, seeing how, you know, improving components, you know, within a computer, you know, can improve, you know, the graphics. And this was just when NVIDIA and had started to grow. You know, they weren't the most valuable, you know, company in the world. You know, in fact, I think they were all near bankruptcy, you know, at one point. And how did I get into esports today? It was very simple. It was just after setting up 974. I wanted to support the communities, and we started to, you know, sponsor, you know, different events and activities, and to give them an opportunity so they can participate. And one day I was asking, you know, different community members, like, why don't you create proper teams? And they said, well, one, we either don't have the latest equipment, or it's really difficult for us to find a space where we could compete regularly, you know, or train together. Yeah. And so that's when I decided, you know what, let me just create this little mini arena, and I made it for free, completely free for anyone to just come and play, participate, and compete.
And now you find yourself as the executive officer for the Qatar Esports federation?
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of companies from around the world that want to be involved in Qatar's success story. And we've been doing amazing things when it comes to sport in general. I'm talking about physical sport.
Yeah.
And so it's only natural for us to want to have a fingerprint on the digital side of sport as well. And for me, I just really wanted to help encourage, build some teams that can represent Qatar in a global competition, you know, around the world.
So we go to you now. You've done exactly that also, but you've kind of put your money where your mouth is, and you're now creating something in these last 3 years, as you said.
Yeah.
You're creating something that just doesn't stop from growing, both on a local basis, but on a global basis too.
Ooh, we are. So that's the most exciting part of what we do, I think, is the team side, and the most difficult part. I think now, today, Quest is known on a global level because of the Dota 2 team and the esports team. Although we've done a lot of projects in the past, from leagues, competitions, we're helping actively now build the ecosystem in Qatar, like the gaming ecosystem, alongside the federation. We're partnering up with the federation. So, but the team side is the tricky part. It's where you have these ups and downs, these emotions. You're cheering for these guys. You're picking them back up when they're losing. You're happy when they're happy. You're celebrating, but at the same time, it's a hard journey because you need to convince everyone around you that yes, it's an actual sport. What the team is doing is very significant. The exposure the game has is in the millions, and it's been here for years and years. So that's the hard part, but definitely very rewarding.
Very rewarding.
Yeah,
I've seen some people developing within your company, and it's kind of, it just goes from strength to strength. So congratulations.
You know what they're doing when it comes to esports and building teams. You know, it's you know, very emotional. I think a lot of people, as you said, you know, don't understand. Yeah. And it was really funny because I was sitting with a friend of mine I won't mention the team, and he was getting really frustrated, and one of his family members walked up to him and said, like, why are you so angry? Because he was actually in a comp, a competitive match. And he's like, why are you so frustrated? Why are you so angry? He's like, it's just a game. And literally he said, this isn't a game. This is life. And so it's funny to say, you know, that a game isn't a game. But when it comes to esports, it's a totally different mindset, you know?
And just to add to that, actually, when you were mentioning this, I was thinking of, as far as I know, your favorite game is Overwatch, or one of the favorite ones.
Yeah.
Overwatch is one of the most competitive titles out there. Yeah. And especially when you look at competitive leagues, it's one of those games that gets really your emotion out when you're watching competitive players play.
100%.
Especially on a global stage when it's like, especially if you look at the younger generation, nowadays if you see a kid on the PC just twiddling sticks or pressing keys rapidly at a time, when he's completely engaged, he has 100% focus on that. And he really, really wants to get that win.
It's unbelievable. I've joked before where my son came up to me one stage and he said, "Dad, I want to be into esports. I want to be into gaming. I want to earn money out of this." Mm. And I'm like, "Don't be silly. That's just."
James, there's so many ways of making money, right?
Oh.
So you could be a streamer. You could be a content creator. You could be a programmer. You could
caster.
Be a caster. You could be a ref. You could be a storyteller. I mean, there's just so many different ways of monetizing a career in gaming. And of course, when it comes to esports, you know, it's one of the few, let's say, you know, sports that you have different career paths after you decide, you know, to move on from your team.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of, you know, esports athletes end up becoming streamers, for example. Whereas, you know, it's not very often, it sometimes does happen that you see, you know, maybe let's say a football player that then becomes, you know, a caster.
Yeah.
There's only like a handful of them that mm-hmm. actually manage to enter into that.
Yeah.
But it's much easier when it comes to gaming.
But that's one thing that I've seen over the years is that it's becoming an industry. Now, let's not kid ourselves with this.
Fastest
it's
growing
becoming
industry.
An industry. And especially on a global basis, but here in Qatar, and that's going to be down to you individuals solving problems, coming together, being a team. that's the way that this is growing. And it seems I see all your team here, and I see how the teamwork goes. It's phenomenal to be part of it. But coming to you now, I remember you being the president of Qatar University with the esports. How do you keep this? How do you get those youngsters involved in this more? How do you get them to be more involved and really seeing the opportunities from a business perspective?
So if we speak from a business perspective, it's really what really drives the energy for the youth. If you think about it, no one's really going to tell someone, let's play football. And I take your point on this, Khalifa. We were having this conversation just before, and I was wondering, what can we really do to make sure people are participating in events? What's really the driving factor? So really, it is that I completely agree with what you said, and that was, you can't tell someone to like football. It's either inbuilt in them, or what you can do is help them explore their passion. Maybe they have it in them and they just don't know it yet, or it's something that they haven't achieved that right platform. They haven't noticed that there is a platform out there for people to come together and really drive that sort of career path. So I take it in several different ways. One of the perspectives is being a caster. So if you're an esports athlete, if you are communicating with your team, one of the future career paths could be a caster, you could be a desk host. And this happens in other sports as well. Think about cricket, think about football. These retired players do end up being commentators. So if you think about it, really, the energy that's driven from the youth, it just can spread out in many different ways. And how do you achieve that? How do you get people to be inspired about esports? It's a tough question. It has to be in them. It just has to be something that they're interested in. You can't tell someone to like esports.
But with the guys here specifically, okay, I don't know. They all like gaming, obviously, but they've all got career paths set out for them now. There's cameramen, there's sound, there's card, but they're doing dual. They're then going back and they're creating something. They're backing the team up in the support and looking after them. So there's a whole wealth of different career paths that everybody's got within this. In saying that, the global growth, and I'm going to ask you, Khalifa, the global growth of esports, it's staggering. How do you try to keep up with all of this from the federation?
Look, for our role in the federation is we have two main mandates, right? The first thing is to ensure that we provide opportunities to different to individuals to pursue hopefully a career path, you know, in gaming. The second thing is to make sure that we support the different organizations, you know, within Qatar, so that they can help us basically shape the story of gaming in Qatar in general. So those are like the two main areas.
Yeah.
What I wanted to add on top of this is that we want to set the framework and the guidelines and the conditions so that you can become an official representative and wave the Qatar flag. And one of the things, for example, the General Secretary, you know, Faisal Khalid, you know, has been talking about, is that as a federation, of course, when you're representing the Qatar national team, there are certain sports, you know, that require you to be a national. But then there are other tournaments where you can represent Qatar, but you don't have to be Qatari. Yeah. And we want to support everyone that lives in Qatar, that lives, breathes. We have an expression in Arabic, you know, Demik Annabi, which means your blood is maroon. You know, these are the people, you know, that we want to give opportunities to. Now, by us being established as a federation, we've already helped open up the most important door, which is the ability for teams to participate in international tournaments. Because in the past, for example, you know, if you know, Quest had a team and they wanted them to participate representing Qatar, they couldn't because there was no federation that could apply or open that door for them. Now we're here to open those doors so that they can shine. So yeah, that's what we do, you know, as a federation. But there are still so many other things that we still need to do. Educating the older generation to understanding that, again, gaming is not just gaming, you know. It's not just a waste of time, you know. There's the team element. There is, you know, the teamwork. There's the strategy. There is understanding how to be patient, you know. Even breathing, for example, is something that they talk through when it comes to playing a game so that you can make sure you get enough oxygen to your brain so you can react, you know, fast enough, you know, to in certain games as well. I mean, there's just so much more to it. And then we do have the aspiration and ambition in the future to have academies here, putting together, you know, special curriculums, you know, with schools so that they can help people, you know, pursue a career path, you know, in gaming in general. So there's a lot to be done, but hopefully we've demonstrated so far that they've been baby steps, but they still have been steps, you know, towards success.
It's very early days, okay, but how do you then, with your company, how do you then support the Federation? How do you look at, because it's an industry, just like tourism, just like, so this can become just one of those ecosystems that is just up there with the rest of them. How do you keep that going? How do you try to encourage more people coming to join your company or more companies coming to Qatar?
Yes, so, okay. How do we support the Federation? So Quest is a tournament organizer. That's how we can support the team, the PSG Quest team. That's how we can make our own investments grow in the market. So we're a tournament organizer first, and a team manager and content creator second. So the Federation today, if I give Khalifa $1 million riel as a budget, he knows exactly where to spend it. If I give him $1 billion riel, he also knows exactly where to spend it in terms of building the strategy. So they have the strategy. They know exactly what needs to be done on an educational level, on a league system for the country to kind of find these new talents, get everyone excited, on a competitive, on a major level when it comes to hosting events in Qatar and working on a media and broadcasting side of this event. So the strategy is there. But we still need the hard work behind it. We need to have these pitches. We need to make the connections within the community to bring these international IPs to Qatar. We need someone to execute. So this is where we come in. We actively work together on building these decks using the connections we make as PSG Quest around the world with game publishers, with partners that own different IPs and are looking to partner up with the Middle East. With everything that's happening now between Saudi and the UAE, everyone's trying to kind of position themselves in the Middle East. So they're looking to Qatar as well as a potential location to host tournaments, especially after seeing the World Cup. The World Cup was a huge success. They've seen that the country can manage, has the infrastructure to host these kinds of events. So our role is to play a key part in making sure to connect the dots and to properly execute with the Federation. So we don't have the opportunity. We have one shot at this. We cannot mess this up. If we have one failed event, no matter the scale in Qatar, it's just going to slow down the rate at which it's going to accelerate as an ecosystem. So we try to support. And as the team, I try to highlight the fact that we are a Qatari organization. We are a Qatari team based in Qatar, just to hype up the fact that yes, there is talent in the country. There is an organization that is actively being a part of the esports ecosystem worldwide. So this helps as well.
Actually, Ali, just to add on to that, it's more like something I would like to get your thoughts on, since we have both of you guys here. So if you're an esports company, what about those companies that actually want to enter esports? They see that the esports industry is something that they want to get involved in, but they're not of the esports nature. It could be a telecom, it could be an airline, it could be a retailer, it could be a food company. What are your thoughts on that? How do you see them doing some sort of sponsorship or some sort of event organizing, or maybe sponsoring a team and things like that?
From my side, I'll let you give your opinion as well, Khalifa. Like, from my side, depends on the KPIs of every company. So depends on what you want to achieve. What's your audience? Is it local? Is it regional? Is it international? Companies that want to, that have KPIs of bringing people to Qatar, for example, or highlighting the lifestyle or the gaming ecosystem in Qatar, like Visit Qatar, would want to sponsor a team with international exposure that is competing in events that have a lot of eyeballs. We're talking millions. So this is why they sponsored the PSG Quest team when we went to the international last year. Other companies want to target the Qatari youth, would want to host like telcos or car manufacturers, whatever. So they would want to host small activations, but keep having them being a recurrent thing all over the country. So they would look into hosting events, tournaments, local leagues, that stuff. So it really depends on the brand. But esports doesn't instinctively come to mind when you're trying to have an activation, because they, exactly what you said, they don't know what they can do and what they can accomplish with esports most of the time. So there is a big awareness job that has to be done.
But that comes back to you about the education side of it, because everybody's got to be educated. We've all got our perceptions. My age, I had my own perception about esports. It's not the same anymore. But it's that education process that you've got to go through. And that's responsibility. And I'm going to point to you now, because that's a big responsibility from your side, especially the next generation that's coming through. But it's an education process, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to see things in steps, right? And you start off as maybe a casual gamer, maybe somebody just wants to play a little bit whenever they have a little bit of time. And then maybe, you know, you start to go to a couple of, you know, have some friendly, you know, friend tournaments, you know, sitting in a majlis, you know, just having some fun, you know, to then, you know, maybe saying, oh, you know what, I might want to enter into some smaller events, you know, in the future. And then you say, okay, I want to reach, you know, an amateur league, and then you want to go into, for example, a university league, and then eventually you want to be part of, you know, some major tournament. So it's step by step. But, and again, it doesn't mean that if you start as an amateur player, it means that your goal is to be the next number one, you know, pro player in the world. Yeah. No, it's, you can choose where you end up, on that, you know, step ladder.
Which league, which kind of section it is. Yeah. Like when you have squash leagues or football leagues, there's always going to be that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy, you know, playing football, you know, with friends, but I don't ever imagine being part of the national team, you know, one day. But, you know, but it's not just, not that I wouldn't be honored, but it's just that it's not something that I think that I want to do. Yeah. You know, however, I also work in the Qatar Football Association, you know, where I focus, you know, on commercialization for, you know, the national team, you know, and the association. And that's what I enjoy doing. So I am related to football, but it's a career path that's adjacent to, or let's say linked to the actual national team or professional players. So again, there's just so much opportunity. We just need to educate people as to what paths, you know, that are available to them. And having said that, going back to also, you know, how we're trying to make things easier, we're launching actually an updated website real soon for the QESF, where it's very simple for people to start registering with us to get information, and so that we also know who exists out there, whether you're an individual, whether you're a club, or whether you're a company that's interested in potentially supporting or, you know, doing, becoming a sponsor, you know, for some of the clubs that are out there. So we're, again, trying to connect the dots, you know, between the different players out there, pun intended.
Put that back onto you. What are you going to do? I know what you've done and what you've tried to do in the past, and what's now your next steps to help this process go along?
Realistically, any university clubs, or I would say any sort of club out there, not limited to university, it could be a school club as well. If there are these esports players and just people interested in the concept of gaming, they would support the national strategy for esports. So they would go up to the new website you mentioned, they would sign up, they would try to keep updated on what's going on, they would try to not only participate in the tournaments that are being held at a national level, but also try to create their own. Try to get as much engagement and raise awareness of this to not only other players, other potential players, it could be the older generation. Like you mentioned, it's very important for the older generation to also understand that esports is now an industry. So that's really it. It's just about getting that sort of energy out there.
I like the website, because since I've been getting an interest in this esports, it's quite surprising how many older people are playing it and how many people are getting involved in it. And I think that's going to be really good, so that you will find people at different ages to getting involved.
You know, we just recently did some tryouts for some tournaments, you know, that are coming up, you know, real soon. And one of the teams, you know, that were participating was a Qatari husband and wife. You know, who I thought this was such a beautiful image, you know, like they're both husband and wife working together, you know, and they want to, you know, challenge, was it in CSGO? I can't remember, but it was just one of the games. And it was just a beautiful, you know, scene. Now, I play Overwatch, for example. This year, you know, I hit, you know, 40 years old, but I still, you know, enjoy, you know, playing the game. And I call her my baby sister, but she's 35. We play together. You know, and to me, it's like, you know, it's a family bonding time, you know, at least we have something in common, you know, that we get to enjoy together. But who knows, maybe one day I might decide, you know, I want to enter into a competition, you know, with my sister.
Yeah.
The point is, though, like at the end of the day, I just want people just to have fun. I can't wait for people to check out the website. The website's going to be beautiful because we're going to be able to list every single activity, every single event, you know, that's happening within the country. It's going to be very clear who sponsors are. So because we want to give exposure to sponsors, to encourage them to sponsor more events. It's going to show you what the prize pools are. And then you can create your own profiles within our pages, which will showcase what games you play. So that potentially, again, if you are a sponsor or you are a company that wants to reach out, it'll be easier for them to just say, okay, I want to filter based on, again, you know, Overwatch players, and it'll show you, you know, who's playing, what their rankings are, so you can select individuals. So we've created a solution which hopefully very soon, you know, will be available online. And I think it's one of the many missing pieces of the puzzle.
I think that's it. This is a thing that I sometimes think that in all sports is that we don't celebrate success, right? And whatever stage of that success is, just because I'm not the world's best, we think that sometimes, we don't want to publicize that. But it's okay to be down here too. If you're trying your best, if you're really
just
giving
be happy.
It, yeah, exactly. Just be happy. Just enjoy. But in saying this is a massive business. We're talking about enjoyment. We're talking about business also.
In the billions,
okay, on a global basis. But
let's go down a bit. Let's go down to the region, okay? There are some big players
establishing themselves, some faster than others. How do you keep up with that?
No, look, let me tell you something. This, to me, from my mindset, this is not a competition. This is how do we complete each other? We're Khalijis, we're the GCC. You know, we are a union, we all work together. For me, the question is not how do we compete with what they're doing, but how can we work together to compete with the rest of the world? That's the way that I see it. And so you might have Saudi Arabia working on something with their initiatives, what's going on, you know, with Gamers 8, with what's going on, you know, with the huge prize pools, you know, that they have. You might have, you know, the UAE who have been attracting, you know, international events and organizations to do, you know, events that would, you know, put spotlight, you know, on the region. And for us, equally, we also want to do the same. However, one of the personal ambitions, you know, that I have is attracting companies from around the world so that they can come and set up their offices here in Qatar so we can focus on localization and we can focus on, I want to say, the business side of gaming more than just only the consumer or the esports side.
Because that gives you longevity, right? That's going to give you longevity.
Yeah, and I think this is... We were talking about this, you know, earlier, you know, off the podcast. We were talking about how everybody wants to do everything, right? And I really do hope, and I really believe, you know, that all of our, you know, our brothers and sisters, you know, in the GCC, do want the same success for all of us. And the only way that we're going to be able to do this is if we don't try to directly do what each other is doing, and we try to again, you know, fill the gaps and complete each other.
Compliment.
You know, yeah. We need to hold each other's hands.
It's really good that you're involved in this because I think you're just the perfect person to push and drive this forward. But in talking about competition, come on, what's coming up?
Of course, like Khalifa said, you cannot compete. You don't want to compete with the Esports World Cup as an event. You're happy that Saudi is slowly becoming the capital of esports. And as Khalifa said, as GCC countries, we get to compete. We get to compete near home. So that's cool. But of course, on the team side, it's a competition. And it's beautiful to see all these teams kind of trying to get to Division 1 and compete. So now you have Falcons entering the Dota 2 scene as of January. So we're facing them regularly in the qualifiers. We also have Nigma Galaxy in the UAE. We have Twisted Minds now in Saudi entering the Dota scene. So it's beautiful to see all these teams. I can see it happen. I can see these Arab flags popping up in international events now.
Who is the champion of Overwatch? Global champion?
Saudi.
Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
Where did they come from? Saudi. You know what I mean? And to be honest, when as soon as I saw it, I was so happy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we got an Arab flag, you know, representing us in the global stage, as you said. Do you see how Saudi Arabia, they were so happy and proud that Qatar, you know, had the World Cup, you know, and they were cheering for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Equally, we cheer for them with what they're doing with esports.
Yeah.
The question is, though, again, how do we hold hands together? But yeah,
exactly.
100% you're right.
All the casters that we know that we've been working with for the past 10 years, constantly on their Instagram stories, they're like seeing these Arab teams competing in PUBG Mobile events, and they like, make us proud, guys. It's not about which entity. It's not about if it's an Iraqi team or a Saudi team or a Qatari team. It's about just the fact that we're representing on a Division One level. But yeah, it was amazing for me to see the Quest logo inside of Dota 2 as a game. You can buy a supporter pack. We recorded the voice lines in Arabic for the
That's
international. The international is called TI. So we recorded a voice line that said, Habibi, come to TI. It's a Dubai-based phrase that we say in the Middle East. It's not a Qatari phrase, but who cares? We're one family. But it's cool to see an Arab team being highlighted, and the fact that it was our team as well. For a player that's been playing Dota for the past 16 years, it was an amazing moment to turn the game on and see the Quest logo with all the guys in avatars. It was amazing. Dota as a game is very complex as well. It's a serious esports. It's a 5-player game. It's like chess. You kind of pick these characters. You get counterpicked one at a time. It's so strategic. It's the good thing about it and the bad thing. So you can't expect everyone to understand. It's a learning curve. It's not like FIFA or a shooter game that you can easily get. But it has 200 million plus fan base worldwide. So it's actually to be a part of this, to be
figures.
A part of this. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
So just to add to that, one of the favorite things that we're talking about right now is we're not talking about one particular game. Esports is a huge combination of different games. So we're talking about a player base that is massive.
Yeah. I'm an entrepreneur, right? And I'm just trying to work this out. Sitting here with you right now is working out how you can get investments into getting involved in this. Because I look at the screen behind you guys, and that's fun. There's some fun, there's some bonding, there's some coming together, and it seems like it's a really great environment to be in. And from an investment perspective, I think there's many more people out there that will get involved because of that excitement level. I really want to go into that. You're participating, or one of your teams is participating in this World Cup, right? I just, because I was, before we came on, I asked you, the prize fund for this game, come on, what
exactly.
is it?
Exactly, and this year it's low. So the Esports World Cup for Dota 2 specifically, it's low. Dota has a track record of having the highest prize pool worldwide. So I think the game got to a $47 million prize pool for one event 2 years ago for the international. It started decreasing because they're testing out the fact that is it money related that all these fans are kind of, or the teams are participating, or are we creating an ecosystem? It shouldn't be about the money. So they've been testing out the price pools. In Saudi this year, it went down from 20 million to 5, but still, as the World Cup has a total of $60 million in price pool this year. So $60 million distributed over how many games? I'm not sure, but I'm thinking 16 games maybe. It went from 8 games. That's why it was called Gamers 8 2 years ago, because it's 8 game titles, 8 weeks, to now hosting every single game title, more or less.
That's so an industry in itself. And if huge. You think from an entrepreneur's perspective, all the things that go with that, that's a phenomenal business to be in, right?
100%.
Yeah.
We've not got much time, and I wish we can do more, right? But what is your dream for the next year or next 2 years?
My dream for the next year or two. Well, first of all, I would like us to sort out our national budget, you know, as a federation. I would also like for us to start seeing, you know, more tournaments on a regular basis happening. It's not enough to just do, you know, like a tournament and then focus on the next game. No, you can't do that. You know, we need to make sure that there is consistency between specific titles and then throwing in a couple of sports or a couple of titles that might not have a huge player base, but, you know, something to make sure that we're completely inclusive. And I would say my other dream is just to make sure that for every major international tournament, we see the Qatari flag. Simple as that.
That's a nice one. What about yourself?
The dream really would be to supplement that. So if we're talking about having these events, building these communities, it's so important that we have as many people as possible, but at the same time, we ensure their dedication. If we get some sort of some people, let's just say that people who are very, very passionate about what they're doing in the industry, if we're able to achieve a community like that, I'm sure we'll do wonders.
Neither. It's on your shoulders.
I mean, I know your dream. Your dream is to be the number one.
I mean, no, I would like to see the PSG Quest team, of course, lift the trophy for the World
there
Cup or the international. That would be a dream come true. Like to see the guys on stage, because I've been through the process with them. I've seen the ups and downs. I've seen how hard they've been working in training. It's not a game. They love what they do. It doesn't make it easier. You're competing against the top 1% with not as much support as the teams who are 12 years old in terms of big organization worldwide. But you're still competing at this level. So it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of dedication. To see them lift this trophy, it would be a dream. I would also love to see a LAN event in Qatar where to see a crowd cheering for the GCC teams, to have these goosebumps you have when you see a combination of musical and visual element on stage. Like, this would be...
Especially seeing all those players compete at the highest competitive level. We're looking at the best performers in the world.
Seeing you guys with the drive and seeing you get... I'm getting excited now myself, and I want to be involved in it. I think that this is going to happen.
Pick a console, pick a game. Let's move on from there, you know?
You mentioned picking a game. Khalifa, what's your favorite Overwatch character?
Oh, it's hard. You ask me now, you know, with season 11, because they've just changed a lot of things. I used to enjoy playing Hog a lot.
Okay.
You know, as a tank. Mainly I'm a tank, you know? Okay. And if I'm not a tank, then I end up going, you know, as a healer. But I would say, yeah, probably Hog. or Hamster, Hammond.
A hamster?
He's a tiny little hamster in a giant mecha ball.
With guns.
And the thing is, you know, I can be very annoying as a hamster in the game. Yeah.
If you're talking about annoying, I'm a Moira main. So what that means is I am always healing teammates and doing tons of damage.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen though, bro.
Yes.
As me as a hamster, you're going to try to fade away and I'm going to be rolling right back behind you. No, but yeah, you know. There's some really cool stuff, you know, that happens. And one of my personal goals, this is unrelated, you know, to the Federation, is I do want to try to build up an Overwatch team, you know, here. And so we'll see how we can do that, inshallah.
Get Apex on board too.
You have been amazing guests.
There's too many.
I'm sorry that time's against us, but you have been amazing guests. And I really do want to get involved. My I'm getting older now. My fingers are not getting any younger.
Mouse and keyboard.
Oh,
I'm master race.
I told you before we went live, that professional gamers retire around 26, 27. So did you cross this age?
You're a good man. You're a good man, Ali.
I mean, there's always mental-based controllers. They'll eventually come out, so it will be... As long as your mind works.
You've made my day. Thank you so much, gents. And thank you for listening to this one. And I want just to put it over to yourself, okay? Qatar is a wonderful place. And if you want to come somewhere where you want to set these types of businesses up or be part of this industry, because that's what it's going to be. And believe me, everything I've seen in Qatar for the last 15 years, there is no fear. And I guarantee you it's going to be pretty big. It'll get to that stage. So come now, okay? Come now. And get involved at this early stage, because you just don't know how big you're going to be. Thank you so much for listening on this podcast. I hope we see you next week. Thank you for now.